Hello there. Welcome to this episode of Forest Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week, along with Mrs. Forest Ghost Conversations, Elise King, we will be discussing episode 13 from season 3 of The Bad Batch titled Into the Breach. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to support Forest Ghost Conversations on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Also, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store to buy some Forest Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Forest Ghost Conversations. All right, everybody, welcome back to Forest Ghost Conversations, and we have a good episode for you here today. Some candid conversations about the Bad Batch with Mrs. Forest Ghost Conversations, and very excited to get into these last couple of episodes as the series comes to a close in just 2 weeks' time. So before we get into all that spoiler discussion about episode 13, Into the Breach, for season 3 of The Bad Batch, we do have some news that came out in the Star Wars Lucasfilm galaxy this week. And one of those Lucasfilm adjacent projects is, of course, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver. Yes, Zack Snyder's foray into the space opera fantasy genre that we covered weeks ago, many moons ago, back in December, January, for Part 1, Rebel Moon, A Child of Fire. We now have, as of yesterday, at the time of this recording, Friday, April 19th, Part 2 has now released on Netflix. I've seen it, and it is I think it's really great. I think it's incredible. I think it's awesome. I think it's a wonderful addition into the Rebel Moon franchise. I would recommend watching it with Part 1 because I do believe that this is a full story right here. This is one full movie. This is almost a full third act from Part 1 here. So if you want a nice 4-hour afternoon of Rebel Moon goodness, that's how I recommend viewing it, of course. But if you just want to watch Part 2, there's a great little like kind of opening crawl text that explains what happened in the first installment, just to jog your memory of all that stuff too. And of course, there's a little behind the scenes documentary too about the making of Rebel Moon, which I haven't checked out yet, but I'm very much looking forward to looking at that later today, possibly. So that is a fun little look at that installment into that world, and I implore you to watch it for yourselves. Don't listen to the negativity online that is surrounding this universe. For whatever reason, I don't understand it. Just check it out yourselves. I highly recommend that you do so. I think it's a wonderful movie, a great addition of action and sci-fi into this canon of storytelling that we've got going on here. So just really great stuff overall. And also in the Star Wars, back to Star Wars, of course, a new comic miniseries called Star Wars Inquisitors will now come out on July 3rd. This new miniseries was announced earlier this week with writer Rodney Barnes and artist Ramon Rosonas. I think this is great. I love more information about the Inquisitorius and that group of fallen Jedi and dark side force users that are underneath Vader as they're going out into the galaxy and hunting down survivors of Order 66 and just force users in general that are out there trying to make their way in the galaxy. And with that, folks, that is all the news that I compiled for this week's episode. We'll be back after this very short break with our conversation about episode 13 from season 3 of The Bad Batch, Into the Breach. Stay tuned. Hey everybody, welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations. The Bad Batch conversations are continuing here on the podcast, and we have a brand new one to chat about this week. Into the Breach, episode 13 from season 3. And of course, you know who we have here to break it down with us. Mrs. Forest Ghost Conversations, Elise King.
Hi, I'm back.
You're back. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
How is the Bad Batch this week?
This was a very surprising episode for me.
I like how you went with that. Surprising. Why is it surprising to you? Or why was it surprising?
The pacing. It really came down to the pacing and the story they decided to tell with this one. It's not like the like story points in and of themselves was surprising. But the pacing of the episode, what they were showing, the conversations and stuff, like that was a very like middle to two-thirds of an episode, of a season episode, not a one of three left
episode. We have
episode.
Two more after this. Yeah. Interesting. So I guess let me ask a follow-up question here immediately to that. Is that a bad thing in your opinion? Like, are you disappointed by that in a way?
I really, no, I think I was a little surprised by my,
You were surprised by your surprise, but are you sure yet if you know?
No, I don't think it's fair to make an overarching judgment on the episode about being disappointed or not until I see
the full picture,
of the season. I don't think I would even have this thought if they hadn't said this was the last episode or the last season of The Bad Batch. Right. But I have an idea of what an ending of a story should be like.
I agree with you.
So there are some expectations there. That being said, like, I know we say it all the time, but I really haven't been steered wrong.
Yeah.
And we honestly don't know what the future of the stories are. So I'm just putting my faith in the storytellers. There's a lot of unanswered questions still. I thought we would start getting some answers or at least be in the thick of the action. We're not. But again, I'm putting trust in the team. They haven't let me down yet.
Yeah, it's a needed episode to get from a point A to point B again. So this is kind of like the last couple of weeks here have been like, all right, we need this in order to get to the next point. And then at that point, we need to get to something else to get to the next point. And now we're kind of on the cusp of where we need to be in order for the domino to fall down the hill.
Yeah, and I guess I just assumed, given how few episodes there are left,
we'd be kind of done.
It wouldn't take so many points to get to where they need to go.
But story-wise, it makes sense because Tantus should be hard to get to.
Yeah, it does. I'm just like, what are the last?
I think we're just like, this is a fun example and conversation of expectation because it's a final season. Versus, so with that, it comes naturally. Our brain is creating like it we're trying to autocorrect the sentence before it even is written.
Yeah, like
out.
I was like, oh, obviously, like Rex has been looking for this for a while, so they're obviously going to get with a lot more rebels, and it's going to be clones storming Tantus to save clones. That's obviously not happening.
It's not going
to
be as condensed as what we've like a smaller group going out there. Like we thought, you thinking like Rex and a bigger team is coming in.
No, I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's a much
and instead it's a smaller team,
team
going out there, exactly. Which is subverting the expectation. You're just like, oh, okay.
It's a rescue mission, not a revolution. You know?
And I think at this point, because there are only two episodes left, you kind of alluded to this already, is that I think we need to accept the ambiguity that we won't have a clean book close on the series.
How they're setting it up to me is very much like, at this point, I don't even know if we'll get like, I knew the clones and the resistance were going to continue, but at this point, I don't even know if we get character closure.
I don't think so either.
Like, I think
anyone outside of maybe even like Hunter and Omega and Wrecker, like this core group, I don't think there's going to be like a,
and even then, like, going off into the sunset or whatever doesn't even make sense. Because Omega would never just run away.
Yeah.
Or, like, just go somewhere peaceful. She feels... Which
they kind of set some seeds for her.
Does this mean that... Does this mean the Bad Batch will always be supporting? Like, they will always be in other stuff, but it just won't be their story anymore?
Yeah, they're not the leads anymore.
Yeah.
We don't see them grow anymore because we've seen their arcs.
Yeah, we've seen like their family,
their transformation,
they love. Yeah, I think it's just like, all right, take your expectations.
I think the story is just getting Omega off of Tantus, and that's the Bad Batch.
Yeah, and having the family again. They lost a brother.
And reclaiming a family setting.
Yeah. Exactly. And knowing who they are, and Omega knowing who she is.
And I think the sooner as you and I, and as a larger fandom, accept that, and then we'll be surprised if anything else comes, then that's it, right? I don't think which should be the grand storming of Tantus and blowing up of the mountain
that, and them going
that
and
I think
away.
Our brain always wants it to make it more larger and epic and tie into larger things, or to like walk in and see a vat, like a ton of like Palpatine clones, and then for Hemlock to just pull up a PowerPoint and be like, and here's the exact definition of what Project Necromancer is.
And I think if I know, because I was sitting there and I was like, well, I'd be disappointed if that's not what we have. And I had to sit there and be like, no, because I've said over and over and over, I don't want to say goodbye to these characters.
Yeah.
So if this keeps the door open for them to be a part of things moving forward, that would be awesome. Even if it's not like they are not the main characters anymore. And two, everyone's always wanted to know what happens in the in-between.
And you got a lot of that.
Further peeks behind the curtain, and these are stories to tell, but there are a million different curtains in this time. So why would we... I don't know. I just am like, I guess they're setting... How I see them setting it up is actually what I really want. It's just not what I expected.
Yes, the subversion of expectation is certainly real, especially this last half of the season. I think that first half we were really getting, pinpoint. That's exactly
it. Yeah. Like we talked about in the first couple episodes of this season, like we know how this is going to go. Omega's like friends and connections are going to rise up. They're all going to come together. They're going to storm Tanta. It's like, obviously not.
Nope. That seems to be a little bit of a, and it's not bad or anything like that. I think this is just what the story that the peak creatives want to tell. And I, again, trust that they are doing the right course of action that they think is, that they think is prudent for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So I think this is a, I think at this point too, you're just like, this is maybe where the week to week hurts the season, the series, right? Do we think into this episode too much if this is it, and then we know we have 2 weeks left after this? Or if we got like all three at once, then we're just like, great episode, on to the next one, on to the next one, boom, our minds are blown, what a great finale that was to the Bad Patch.
and to me, I'm like, I don't really like, that's the beautiful thing of streaming, right? Like, I get why they're doing week to week. It is fun to know the story is not ending within a weekend because we didn't binge it,
right.
It is keeping streaming services from having to push out so much content all the time to keep people on the platforms. I think that's better for storytelling in general, or at least for shows. We've seen so many shows get canceled because they just needed to be content fodder, basically.
Willow.
Yeah. So and the glory is, okay, great. You saw week to week, and now you can go back and watch it as a full season as you would like without having to wait for, you know, 7 days. So,
yep.
To me, I'm like, I don't care. Yeah, I think it hurts it a little bit in terms of like seeing the full picture and being blown away by every episode. Mm-hmm. But I also don't care.
True. Now, I will say, in addition to all that, when I was on the Rebel Base card last week, chatting about the previous
great
episode.
Great podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
That
thank
was super
you. It was
fun.
A lot of fun.
I liked listening to it.
We kind of, a lot of, some lucky folks in the Star Wars fandom and then the podcast realm got screeners of this last half of the season, seeing every episode up until the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't seen the last one yet, but they've seen everything up until next week's episode. Okay. And all of them are like, you don't know what's coming. Get ready. This is it. And all of us are just like, yes, great. And then you get another episode and you're like, all right, when's it hitting? You know, they're adding to this a bit too, not just the fact that there is a deadline approaching, but just like fans are hyping up the show
and adding to the
expectation.
Even aware
and of course, you're not on the Twitterverse to see all of that. But, you know, we talked about that a little bit. And we're like, hey, like, when's that? What are they, exactly are they referring to when they're like,
that gives me
you don't know what's coming?
So
they
saw. Faith.
Yeah.
That gives me confidence in the faith of the storytellers. They know what they're
so
doing.
Too.
They're not going to let. I refuse to believe, no matter what it's like, that they're just like, oh, sweet little story.
Right.
You know, like, Tech died. These are the creators mm-hmm. that killed one of the Bad Batch. Yeah. I have to have faith that it ends in something amazing.
Sure. And I will say they got all those episodes at once. So I presume that they just binged them.
Yeah.
And then they had that comment afterwards. So I'm like, okay, would they have said that perhaps if they'd gotten one at a time?
And the flip side is if we had been like, oh, wow, it only took one conversation to figure out where Tantus is. It's supposed to be the secret base. There's always another side. I'm sure some people
would be complaining about that, too.
There's always another side.
People are never fully pleased.
No. Work.
But overall, I think, you know, even despite we're having like these little like, oh, it just feels a little unsettling because your expectation, and then when it's not your expectation, you're kind of just like in this limbo, like, oh, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
As a fan. But at the end of the day, we're okay with what we got, too, which is also a good thing to note. Like, we're not having this conversation just to boo-hoo the Bad Batch. We're not boo-hooing it at all. We're just saying, like, oh, all right.
It's more of like it just causes reflection.
It's a good lesson as
on
a fan.
Yourself of, like, what you're expecting and why are you feeling, like, not as enthused or whatever. And you're like, it usually comes down to you and your expectations. It doesn't come down to bad storytelling.
Check your expectations at the door and sit down.
Yeah, exactly. There were some, I laughed out loud at a couple scenes in this
episode. Did too. And I actually wanted to, for the listeners at home, my first viewing experience of this episode was in a hotel room.
Yes.
At 12:30 a.m. So technically the Thursday after it was released. It came out on Wednesday, of course. And the whole day I had been working an event all night long. And I hadn't had at any time. I was so busy just handling logistical stuff and behind the scenes for the work that I was doing for my full-time day job. And finally, once the event concluded, I did all the cleanup and I got a lift back to my hotel. And I was able to find the one food place open at 11. And then my body's like, I can't go to sleep yet. I'm like, all right, I'll watch Bad Batch. So you folks on that follow us on Twitter might have seen my like, oh, I'm a little tired. I'll watch it tomorrow. And I was like, screw sleep. Bad Batch forever. So that was my first viewing. And then I was like, I hope I didn't miss anything. So I rewatched it just before we recorded here over lunch. But how was your viewing? Because we weren't together for this viewing experience. So how was your interaction? I almost had to, I think I had to remind you to watch.
Well, yeah, because, you know,
we had to coordinate how we're going to watch
home.
This.
So, and you're always like, oh, it's Bad Batch today. And I'm like, that's right, it's Wednesday. And then Nolan was at home to remind me what day of the week it was. Because I just go by whatever meetings I have at work. So no, I was just like, oh, shoot, I missed it. So on Thursday, I watched it during lunch. And, it wasn't like a sit down and fully like immerse myself moment. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of glad on a level. It wasn't crazy intricate and stuff, but I did I did enjoy it. I mean, it was just like, ugh, I can't hate 30 minutes of the Bad Batch is on.
Well, I think if it did get intricate, you would have like stopped and like,
oh yeah, I definitely would have. But it showed that like I could like keep wiggling my mouse mm-hmm. and watch at the same time.
Yes. And if Elise's employers are listening, she was fully paying attention to work at the time.
This is a joke. This is a full-on.
This was her unpaid lunch
episode,
break.
Yes.
So you had some funny moments in the episode. What entirely were they?
They were all with Rampart.
What was the first one? Rampart? I think we might have the same one here. So go ahead with one that you can think of.
Well, now, of course, my brain's going to go blank on what the actual moment was.
And then I'll share mine and you go, yes, that was exactly it.
Yeah. Let me just say, Rampart was the comic relief in this whole episode. I needed him because I'm getting so tense of who's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really nice to have that. I wish he had kept his shaggy hair.
He did keep it. He just combed it.
No, it looked cut.
Well, I mean, yeah, he combed it to the side. If he combs it straight down,
I didn't notice that. Sorry. I wish I had Shaggy Rampart a little bit more. Unkempt.
He would have stood out like a sore thumb.
I know. It wasn't good for the whole thing, but I thought that was funny. Just like he was really big comic relief. But if you can remind me of the lines that were funny or the situation.
The one was when they give him the uniform, and he's like, "This is a captain's uniform. Yes, I can't." Yes. And they just like blank stare at him with in silence for like 10 seconds, and then there's like, "You will wear this."
And they were like, "Well, yeah, you've been demoted,
and he right?"
Goes, clones.
Wait, I hate clones.
But it was like Anakin saying, "I hate sand." It's just like.
But he turned that switch right back on. Like he went full imperial. He was like,
bureaucratic butthole for sure.
I'm back in my groove again.
Yeah, I feel my butthole getting tighter by the minute.
Saying, "You got to go. Do you want to have a conversation about Imperial Code 11328, Article 4, Section 2?
Yeah, it was funny to see that. I liked it.
I liked his, like, overall, like, "You can't do this. Why are you..." Like his almost caution to, like, he doesn't know what he gotten into with these clones. And like, it's funny to see, like,
it's funny to
the
see
group it. That foiled so much of his plans and all that stuff all those, you know, 2 seasons ago for 2 seasons, and then to have him be a part of this group and actually see like how bonkers it actually was, the stuff that they were doing in order to thwart. Like, that's the only way he could have been defeated,
you know,
by them going above and beyond in terms of, like, their own health and safety.
Well, it was wild that, like, it wasn't wild. It's just so imperial to the core that he knows that this group of people has messed up his plans over and over and over again and done unexpected things. And yet he still doesn't believe anyone can beat the Empire. I'm like, wow.
How can you do this? That's not an empire.
Yeah, if that's not an imperial attitude, then I don't know what is.
And so just one of the things that I also wanted to note about this episode is just the logistics of getting to Tantus was finally determined, which I found to be really interesting just in general, because that was kind of one of the lingering questions that we had. Like, did they delete the planet from the archive memory? Is it just out there in the ether? What's kind of the deal here? Is it a code name that they changed for Tantus from like Endor to Tantus, right? Whatever it is. And now we have a confirmation about, all right, you have to go to this outpost above Coruscant, and then they give you the coordinates from there to get to Tantus, and that's the only way you can get there, or the path, right? You have to get a hyperspace path directly from there to Tantus. It's where Cad Bane dropped off that clone kid, not the clone kid, but the force sensitive kid that they found. So it all just kind of lines up in a way now that's making more sense. How did that kind of work for you in this, or did you think about the revelation of that as you went through the episode?
I wasn't like super interested or invested in how you find out about Tantus. I was just like, from a storytelling perspective, I was like, oh, I'm glad it's this difficult, right? Because the Bad Batch are awesome. And also Rex is like really awesome and knows the Empire backwards and forwards. So for them not to be able to find it, like, it had to be a good reason. And this seemed like a good reason to me.
Yeah, I think so too.
At least like from like, they've built it up as the most secret place ever. And it definitely seems like the most secret place ever.
And they've as it should be, very hard to get to based off of the scientific work that they're doing there.
Yeah.
It makes total sense. And speaking of Tantus itself, we got a little bit of Omega here.
I know it was my least interested section.
Really? Because just were like, why was that? Why do you think?
Because it wasn't the actual escape. It was like her learning how to escape and stuff like that. Like her befriending the kids and things like that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting because she and Crosshair escaped last time because they had really important skills needed.
Right.
There's a baby in the group. There is a toddler. This is a different kind of escape. This isn't running through the halls.
And the other four sensitive kids are maybe 12 at 14 at most.
Yeah, right? Like, she's coming out with really vulnerable people that don't have skills like that. And so, you know, it's just like, this is a different kind of escape. I'm glad to see she's still trying to escape. Her spirit hasn't been broken.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, it was just kind of standard. It was the learning episode. It was the casing the joint episode for her.
Yeah, totally.
And there was just much more action with Hunter and team. So I was like, oh, I get why we need to do this.
I did like that it kind of confirms what we kind of speculated, was that she's not just sitting there waiting for them to come get her.
No, that's not who Omega is.
And that's not Omega. And it really just confirms the overall arc of the series, where it's like
she was a damsel in distress in some ways, a kid lost out there in the universe, and now she's leading an insurrection on an Imperial facility.
Yeah.
The confidence and growth that happens in between there is wonderful. That's the whole story of the Bad Batch.
Yeah. Yeah. If the other one, if her first escape was the Jedi test, quote unquote, or whatever,
trials, a trial. Yeah.
Then this is her being a Jedi, right?
This is it's her not about walking the walk.
Walking the walk, being a hero, et cetera. Because mm-hmm. it's not about saving herself. It's about also saving others. The most interesting part for me was having that scientist question Emery.
Oh, yes. I am the chief scientist.
Well, it's just like the only one who takes Omega seriously. She's caused trouble before. Why would we not keep a closer eye on her?
Yep. Yep.
I was exactly. like,
the only one that like is like, hey, shouldn't we? Something's off here.
But it makes sense because on one level, Emery's like, she's a child. I barely can live with myself. What I'm doing now, let alone if I treated them horribly. So I think this is how she justifies it to herself. I'm treating them well. Yeah. Second, I think there's a part of her that like doesn't care if Omega, like she wants Omega to escape. She doesn't want to like crack down. Yeah. She wouldn't say that out loud.
She's definitely conflicted.
But there's also sympathy. Yeah, she has conflict in her. There's sympathy. There's also obviously empathy. She's looking at herself in some ways. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting that there's always a voice of reason that's like, no, but like she's a problem. She causes problems. And you're like, well, thank goodness of the hubris of the Empire.
Yeah, eventually when everything goes wrong and they have the after action, like kind of post interviews mm-hmm. to like determine what actually happened and all that and who is at fault and who should be blamed.
Yeah.
When that lady, if she survives and gets interviewed in those interrogations, she's gonna be like, I told them not to. It was that dang Emery car. It was her the entire time. We should have known better.
Yeah, I brought it up.
I brought it up, and my supervisors did nothing. And look at the situation it put us in.
Yeah, dang it. If she lives.
yeah. If the whole facility doesn't just blow up in a big smoke ball.
Because let's think. Well, we've said this before. Even if they were successful in creating the clone that Palpatine is looking for, Palpatine was not going to let any of them live ever.
Yeah, and we know they're not successful.
Yeah.
So I think it blows up. Yeah. The whole mountain comes down.
Yeah. The planet is lost forever.
Tantus becomes a song. It becomes a clone like... like hymn, like a bedtime hymn story around a campfire on Pabu.
I only have one other thought on the episode.
Go ahead.
I thought the storytelling and how they shot they created the last scenes where Hunter's trying to hook onto the ship.
Mm. Yeah.
That level of suspense building was so good. I felt my heart rate ratchet up.
There was good pacing there at that part.
Yeah. And it just like, I was tense and it like, even with me not being like so invested in the story that I couldn't do anything else. It was so well done that I was like, whoo, that you at the end of the day, I have to say it's a good episode because I'll remember that scene of how determined Hunter was and how like tense and stressful the scene was. And it brought up a lot of emotion. So good job.
And I was like, there's a chance that they I did agree. I do agree with you on that. Like, because in my brain, I was like, there's a chance that they don't. And then we're gonna do another episode of them finding another way to get there. Yeah. But no, we're off to Tantus.
Yeah. So
and then we've got two episodes left. So what happens next, Elise? Speculate for us.
You tell me not to speculate.
We got two left. What's the point? Let's.
I honestly don't know. Hold back here. The lesson I learned this week was like, obviously, it's more of a stealth mission.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they try and bring in reinforcements once they get to the planet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could see it being stealth. I could see it them calling in reinforcements and it being a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then the last episode being longer than all the other episodes have been.
Right. Okay.
maybe the second one, this next one is them finding Omega and they meet in the middle somewhere. And then the third one is them fighting, getting out.
Okay. That's possible.
But I honestly don't know. Like, this week really taught me, like, why are you trying to do someone else's job?
That's true. They get paid a lot more than us to do this.
Yeah. So, and I usually like their ideas better because they've, like, spent hours and hours and hours
they've
and
been
hours
thinking
and hours
about
planning.
This and
it's
planning, and it's been years that they've been working on this.
Yeah. So
bring it home, guys.
Yeah. So what about you?
Oh, I think I second what you speculated there, but I'm also going to add the Rampart is a wild card here, and I think he's going to
still going to do the betrayal.
I think he's going to hunt. No. At this point, I'm like, he's going to hunt down Hemlock, and they're going to have, like, a boxing fight, fisticuffs.
No, they're not. He doesn't. He never fights like that.
He's going to just become.
And Hemlock's, like, too evolved.
Oh no! They're going to see each other. These enemies, mortal enemies. Like, there's so much history there between the two of them. That hasn't been spoken yet that I'm putting out into the ether.
Okay.
They went to college together. They might have been roommates. And now that they betrayed one another to get higher up in the empire. No. He's like, you took my desk. And then
I thought for sure, if anything, they'd like both have someone else try and shoot the other for them.
No. They're going to, you. And then punch. And that's going to be the distraction needed for them to get.
Wow. Okay.
To get Omega and others away.
Ready to see it.
Ready to see it. And I hope that someone on that ship is tracking how they got there.
I'm sure
figuring out the
Navi
computer and the flight log somehow. Yeah, get it all together and record that on some tangible way that can be exported to Rex and others, so that they also can come in and pick up the loose scraps of Tantus.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say is, you know, Omega gets off, it's successful. They only have so many vials of her blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means their experiments are very limited in terms of what can be successful. So maybe that's why they only get to the part where, like, Palpatine is hooked up to machines and not.
Yeah, maybe.
A full clan. I don't know.
But that'll be a story for another day, because they're not going to talk about that in this, this series.
No, this is just getting Omega and the Force-sensitive toddlers out.
That would be funny if, like, you know, Mandalorian season 4 or movie, whatever they're doing, if they're like, we only have enough blood from that dang clone Omega a few years ago that we can strap up a ghost clone Palpatine to these...
They have never been that specific in all of Star Wars storytelling, and they never will be.
It would be wild if they did. Could you imagine? You just look at me and go, no. This is it. They will never do this again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. Let's get it. Let's do it. Bring it home, boys.
2 weeks left. And for those of you at home, we've got two more Bad Batch episodes coming your way next week, and then the following week, of course, as we wrap this thing up.
And then the big question comes, what will my next Star Wars story
be? What will your next obsession be?
I have a feeling.
Tales of the Empire.
I have a feeling it could be Tales of the Empire, because I freaking love Tales of the Jedi so much.
I think it'll be Tales of the Empire too, personally. But I am very excited to chat these last 2 weeks with you, Ely. So thanks again for coming back on the show. And for the listeners at home, thank you for listening as well. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to continue the conversation with us, we can be found on all the social media sites, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. Just search Force Ghost Conversations and we'll be there in some capacity. And we look forward to continuing the Bad Batch discussions with you all there. And until then, may the Force be with you. Take care.